Always slow Sunday. I just tell them, John, everybody left Sunday. We had to race across the hill over here. A lot of them couldn't get here. They didn't go to race. I just kidding. There ain't nobody here. I hope nobody did. I don't reckon they did. But anyway, we got almost midnight. We had Sunday morning. It is something. I backslide about every time it happens like that, but I get over it in about a day and a half. Anyway, William's gone tonight. He's gone to a wedding. Wasn't his either. But he went to his brother's wedding. He's going to see how it looks and how you do. All right. I'm glad Yvonne and this lady has come with her and here, and Brother John Hollis is here, and he's going to lead the singing. And I'm glad Bill's back. But I'll tell you right now, in fact, I'm glad all of you are back. Family after family after family is gone on Sunday, and I said, Lord, have mercy. But anyhow, God was still here. He was. I'm glad Willie and Ricky's back. Willie's just having him a time. And Brother Harmon, he went home. I was hoping he'd stay, but he is anxious to get back to West Virginia. I think he thinks about as much of West Virginia now as he did. I guess a lot more than he did before he left. Willie said he's glad. He thanked God for the United States. Well, I'm glad too. John, you come on up here and lead us.
All right, let's all stand if you would please and get a song book. Turn to page 139. At Calvary, amen, 139 years I spent in vanity and pride. Thank God one day I came to Calvary. Let's sing it out tonight, 139.
Amen. 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 Am
That's good, ain't it? Amen. Ain't you glad for the grace of God that brought it down to man? Oh, what a wonderful Savior. Well, it sure is good to be here tonight. I appreciate the Lord letting us come. And we're going to pray. And the girl's going to come on sing. Yvonne's here wanting to sing. I'm glad Bill Nolan back. I'm glad. Boy, listen. We ought to thank God tonight for what He's done for us, for what He's doing for us, how good He's been to us, how good He is to us. I mean, He's just good. That's all I can tell you about Him. I mean, He's good. I mean, the Lord is good. Great and wonderful. Boy, He loves us so much. And you can't get Him to quit. Ain't that one? Whatever you do ain't going to stop Him from loving you. Man, I'm glad He loved you before you ever got in this world. He loved you when you was a sinner. Boy, I mean, can you imagine God loving you so good when you was a sinner that He sent His Son down here to die? I mean, He knew what we were going to do. He knew all about it. But thank God He loved us anyhow and sent Jesus down here to get us, to take us home with Him. Sam, you pray for us, and you girls, come on.
Our Heavenly Father, we do our vow and call you our Father.
Yeah.
Good Father, best Father.
Yeah.
What God will give you love and give you all your God Son. I'm glad you don't love us. I'm glad your love is eternal. I'm glad your love is older than the foundation of the world. What God.
Lord God, I'm glad we can get into the it feels to know something's missing and hear a still small voice that you just keep dismissing. Do you know how it feels to be troubled inside, to think just for you on a cross someone died? Do you know how it feels when he knocks to surrender, have your sins washed away, never to be remembered, and know that it's real? Tell me, do you know how it feels?
How does it feel to know you're a child of a king, your heavenly father owns everything? How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above?
Tears started flowing the moment you felt it. Do you know how it feels to know you've been changed, and it seems that the whole world has been rearranged? Do you know how it feels wherever you roam, you still get a feeling, oh, you're not at home, knowing heaven is real? Tell me, do you know how
to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know it's all right when you lay your head on your pillow each night and know that it's real? Ain't it good to know how it feels?
Told a woman there at the well, this water will not satisfy, but I'm living water, and if you will drink, I'll always be flowing inside. Then she who was lonely and empty within drank until she was filled. She hurried back home and told everyone, come see what I found at the well.
I found living water for my thirsty soul. He told me that I'd never thirst anymore. I have joy beyond measure. Words cannot tell all this treasure I found at the well.
I just like she did, how it feels to be empty inside. Alone I had wandered, not realizing the well was there all the time. Then I found that water one night at an altar, and my empty cup was filled. I needed refreshing, and oh, what a blessing I got when I went to the well.
I found living water for my thirsty soul. He told me that I'd never thirst anymore. I have joy beyond measure. Words cannot tell all this treasure I found at the well.
Okay, before the boys sing, will they come up here and I know he's wanting to say something, surely. He just got back from over in Bulgaria just a while ago, this afternoon, Romania. And they tell me he's been having a time over there.
Well, it feels good to be back. Feels good to be back home and feel the good Spirit of God. And I appreciate my salvation more than I've ever appreciated it.
Yeah.
A lot of stories, a lot of things I've seen. It's bottled down in here, and it's hard to tell all of it without getting tore up. But it was great. It was an experience I'll never forget. And I fell more in love with those people. In church, your prayers, they not went unvoid. Every prayer you prayed, every dollar you give, it's not been wasted.
Yeah.
They all send their love. They love you. Then I thought about that scripture. It said, come see. Come see. Lord, let me have a privilege to go and see. And it is the greatest experience I've ever experienced. When you see people getting saved. And they're getting saved and crying and shouting and happy. Because they ain't got nothing but God. That's all he got. And then they try to give back. What tore me up the most is they try to give back something to you that they don't even have. Everywhere we went. But they love the church. And they appreciate everything you've done for them, every pair of shoes, all that. They appreciate it. They love it from the abundance of their heart. And they pray for you. Not a day goes by that they don't pray for you. And they appreciate y'all praying for them. But I appreciate the Lord letting me come back. And the Lord's been good all the way. I ain't got nothing sad to tell.
Yeah.
And I'm glad the Lord let me go for Ricky and them other men. I mean, we had good fellowship. Always good. And the missionaries over there, they treated us like kings. I mean, they did. I mean, we went in their houses. I mean, Lord God, I mean, it was like royalty. I felt undeserving, unworthy. But they love the church, and they appreciate you all praying for them. And I would ask you dearly to pray for them. I mean, they go every day. They don't waste no day. And they go about sometimes 15 hours, 16 hours a day to meets to try to get the gospel out. And they're taking it. I mean, they're eating it up. They're eating the Word of God up. I'll tell you this, and then I'll sit down, but we went to a village. I got the privilege to go out there. I'd never been. So we all went. And I guess I had about 15 or 20 little old youngins around my feet. The whole time we was there, wanting tapes, wanting the Bible. And people come out to greet us wanting the Word of God. And it was great to see their faces, see them accepting the gospel. And it's made me appreciate America. I went for 2 weeks and 3 days, and I appreciate the land of the free. And you can say whatever you want to say. It's helped me appreciate. It's helped me see a lot different. And I'll tell you, God in my heart, those people. Because, I mean, man, they want prayer. And I give. One night I give. I mean, Lord God, I mean, they drained all the power out of me. Everything, every ounce of God I had. And I got plumb drunk, wiped out, soaked in the Holy Ghost. And they was still coming, wanting prayer. But I'm glad the Lord gave a burden to the church over here. And I thought about that scripture where he said he won't forget your labor of love. The Lord won't forget. He won't. Every dollar, every prayer you pray, the Lord will give back to you.
Yeah.
And they love you, preacher. They sent their love. All the preachers and all of them.
Hey. Okay, boys, come on. While that coming, we found a letter downstairs. I don't know when it's written. Somewhere in Pennsylvania. Somebody said we found a tape next to a phone booth of yours. And this lady said we played it over and over and over. And we enjoyed that singing. She said that a cappella singing. Never said that is something that's so great. Said we'd like to have more of them. She said we're saved, but we've enjoyed that tape preaching on hell. And I tell you right now, God's got some big things to do if we just get out here and do it. You boys come on and sing, and then
Richard can tell his story.
Bless it. They tell me of a land, of a wonderful place, where Jesus shows his smiling face. And they tell me that there is no night. They tell me that the heart will never more sigh, nobody there will ever die. And the saints of God will walk in white.
They tell me of a river.
Tell me of a river.
Where the healing waters flow.
Where the healing waters flow.
They tell me of a city.
Tell me of a city where the pretty flowers grow. Where the pretty flowers grow. They tell me of a land where comes no sorrow. Yonder in the land of God's tomorrow.
This I know.
This I know. It makes me want to go. It makes me want to go. They tell me of a home now waiting above. We'll walk and talk in perfect love.
And they tell me that
there is no night. They tell me that we'll have no burdens to bear, for sin can never enter there.
And the saints of God
will walk in white.
They tell me of a river.
Tell me of a river.
Where the healing waters flow.
Where the healing waters flow.
They tell me of a city.
Tell me of a city where the pretty flowers grow. Where the pretty flowers grow. They tell me of a land where comes no sorrow. Yonder in the land of God's tomorrow.
This I know.
This I know. It makes me want to go. It makes me want to go.
Bless it, Lord.
Down here we meet with many sorrows. Tears beset us all the time.
We long
for heaven's sweet refreshing, just to take them off our mind. Through the desert barren and across the river spread.
Still longing
for the day to come when I can settle down and rest.
Our the peaceful river flowing out before his throne is strong. In the presence of my Savior, and I know it won't be very long.
Sweet fellowship
will last forever. Lovely singing all the time.
When I can settle
down over there, eternal rest will then be mine.
Lately
I've been getting homesick just to lay my cares all down.
No matter where I go, world
seems no comfort can be found.
But
we seek a better country where we'll live with all the blessed.
Yonder
on the hills of glory, I can settle down and rest.
I'll rest
beside the peaceful river flowing out before his throne is thrown. The presence of my Savior, and I know it won't be very long.
Sweet fellowship
will last forever. Lovely singing all the time.
When I can settle
down over there, eternal rest will then be mine.
Okay, Ricky, you come on up here and preach whatever you want to do. I know he's tired, but that's all right. He'll settle down one day. Well, it is good to be saved, isn't it? Good to be saved. I mean, if you could just realize that all your sins are completely gone. I mean, gone. They don't have to get covered up. They're gone. You can't hide them. They're gone. I mean, isn't God good? Lord, have mercy. Just to take us, an old bunch of sinners. I was telling a lady up at the barbershop the other day. She was talking about, well, you got to confess them every day. I said, honey, Bible said, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white. Not you white, but your sins are white as snow. Can you believe that? That's what it said in Isaiah. Can you imagine? I got white sins. White sins. She said, I had never heard of that. And I said, well, you heard it now. Brother.
Well, it's good to be here tonight. It's good to be home. I know how Willie feels tonight after being away for a while and come back. Get to be back at Brookside. It's a blessing. That don't mean that we didn't have a good time over there and that God wasn't over there, because he is. It just means it's good to come back and be where you know that it started and where it's going out of. And we did have a good time. We were in 26 meetings in 16 days, and actually in about 13 days, because about three of those days were spent going over there and coming back. And every meeting we were in, God was there. God's really meeting with them in the church. The American service, they're having two a week now. They were just having every Thursday. Now they're having on Thursday evenings and Sunday mornings for the missionaries. And some Romanians come that can speak English. And boy, as soon as you walk in there, you can feel God. It feels just like you're at Brookside.
Amen.
I mean, feels really close. And the missionaries were crying in the services just because somebody come to see them and to have somebody there. And Willie was really a blessing over there. A few times I thought, as I seen some things happening to Willie while he was there, I thought about that scripture where it says, honor to whom honor is due. And I thought, all these years been praying, not just Willie, some of y'all, but y'all weren't there. If you was there, I believe God done it for you. Willie prayed all these years and others, and God just honored him while he was there. Before it was over, they was coming and getting down in front of Willie and wanting Willie to pray for it. and this might mess some people up, but, and Ralph don't preach this. It's in the book of Acts where some people did it, and he ain't never preached it. They just read it or something and started doing it. When somebody's sick, like maybe they got a baby at home sick or something, they'll bring a piece of its clothing. Or if a woman's having problems, she'll take, they wear head coverings over there. I mean, they just wear them. The Turks just do that, whether they're in church or not. The ladies wear them a lot. They'll take their head covering off and lay it where the preacher's, close to the preacher's. And I looked over there one night. Willie was sitting there and had a lap full. I mean, of baby clothes. And he was all, I mean, he didn't even know where he's at. And I thought, thank God, they all come running over there and put it in Willie's lap and said, we want Willie to pray for our babies and pray for our home. And I like that. I mean, somebody will probably hear this and say, that's charismatic. Phooey on you. You wouldn't, I mean, you wouldn't know charismatic if you seen it. That's God. And I'm not going to tell a bunch of Turks not to do something they feel like they want to do. I mean, you worship God how He wants you to and leave people alone. Amen. They're getting the job done. Well, whether you like it or not, it's working for them. But it was good, and I want you to turn your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I was thinking about this. Brother Harmon, I think he's going to preach on this Sunday morning. I don't know where what scripture he's going to use or none of that. But some things that we seen over there, we got to talking about it. I want to talk a few minutes about crying to get in. Crying to get in. That's what we seen over there. I mean, we seen it. People crying to get in. And you know, I was thinking that tears get people's attention. They get God's attention. And they get people's attention. You know, have you ever... You can be in a room full of people and everything can be going on, and then a person starts crying and everybody looks that way. Everybody starts looking at them because somebody's crying. Either somebody's tore up so bad that they're crying, or they're so happy that... And everybody wants to know when they see tears what's going on. Is something wrong? Or is that person just happy in the Lord? Or are they feeling bad? Do they have a burden? And tears get attention. And I just want to read a couple of verses here, and we'll look in some other, in 2 Timothy in chapter 1, verse 3. It says, Paul the apostle writing this, the Holy Ghost of God speaking through him, said, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. I mean, every time Paul prayed, he remembered this young man, Timothy, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. I mean, he was remembering Timothy's tears. And he thought, if I can see you again and see those tears, I'll get filled with joy. And we saw a lot of people feel, I mean, it's like Brother Harmon said, he said, I've never seen, said, these women over here, said, they've got an inner beauty, these believers, like I've never seen. He said, when they start worshiping God, I mean, they just glow. They're so hungry and they're for the gospel, and they're so happy, and they cry and they praise God. One woman, she said, I'm 73 years old, but I feel like I'm 13. She said, since God saved me. She said, I feel like a young girl. Said, I'm 73, but I feel like I'm 13 again. And tears get people. He said, I'm mindful of thy tears. Amen. And you can remember times when people cried and it gets a hold of you. I've heard a lot of preachers say, you know, that maybe back in Noah's day that the people were crying to get in the ark. I don't really believe that. I mean, I believe they were crying to get to a mountaintop. But those people back, that's done too far gone. They didn't want God. They didn't even know. They knew not till the flood came. They had 120 years to cry to get to God. But that's about like America is tonight. They're not trying to get in. They're just trying to get away and just enjoy everything but God. But we just came back from a land where they're crying to get in. I mean crying to get in. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 2. When's the last time you seen somebody crying to get in? And I'm not trying to fuss at you tonight. Lord God, if I wanted to fuss at anybody, I'd fuss at myself. Because I ain't crying to get in more. I mean, I want what some of them people got. They got such a hunger for God, you can't stop them. I mean, if they stump their toe, they're not going to stay out of the meeting. They're going to wrap it up and hobble to the meeting. They're crying to get in. And we've seen this happen in Mark chapter 2. Verse 1, it says, again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together. And as soon as you come in a village over there, you don't have to have had a scheduled meeting. I mean, all you got to do is honk the horn on the van, and a couple of little kids see you, and they'll go running. And they'll just come. As soon as they find out you're there, they're there. They come. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. I mean, there was so many they couldn't even get in the door. The door was crammed full. And I'm telling you, we've seen that at least 10 times in 26 meetings where they couldn't even get in the door. They were standing outside in 40-degree weather. I'm talking about young people listening out in Savorvo and other places wanting to get in. No, not so much as about the door. And thank God for this next statement. And he preached the word unto them. That's what's doing the job over there. I mean, he preached the word, and that's what gets the job. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, I mean, when some people get some faith, they'll come to get in. I mean, they'll be wanting in. He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And we seen some people get their sins forgiven while we was there. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And you know, that's happening over there. The legalists over there, little crowd running around, they say, well, Brother Ralph, he's not right. Because he accepts anybody in his services. He lets sinners come. He lets people come that ain't living right. Well, Lord God, there ain't nobody in this church tonight living right. Did any of y'all live right this week? Don't tell me you're living right. I know my flesh ain't been living right. I was over there right in the middle of the glory for 2.5 weeks, and my flesh still wasn't living right. And I don't suspect it's ever going to. Well, I thought that's what the whole gospel was about, receiving sinners and getting them saved and getting them some help. But I read that because that reminds me of the people trying to get in. I want to tell you about 3 meetings we had just at one pastor's house, Brother Yashar's. Pastor Yashar, his wife is Aisha, and they've been traveling with Ralph, I guess, since 1993. Last year I was there, they went every day. He's the one that one time Ralph told some of them, he was there, Yashar and Aisha, said, you're going to have to rest some. Said, I want you to take a day and stay home. You've been going too much and you need to rest. That's back when we was going out every day in the villages. And he said, on a certain day, I want you to rest. And before that day came, Yashar came to Brother Ralph and he said, well, we'll rest. We'll do what you said. We'll rest that day and won't do nothing. But said, do you mind if we go to the village with you while we're resting? And Yashar, he didn't know much at first. I mean, but he got in that Bible. Ralph just finally told him, you just need to get in that Bible. And he started reading it and reading it. And now they have a prayer meeting at his house every morning. Got about 40 or 50 young people coming. have three services a week in the evenings. Now they've started a men's service. How some of the men won't come when the women come. Just something about their culture or something. But we were in three meetings there. First meeting we had to have two meetings. Because the room was so full, about 70 people in there, that some of the young people and some of the older people that got there late, they were sitting in the next room and couldn't hear. There wasn't really a way they could hear. And they wanted a meeting, so they waited for 2 hours while we had the first meeting. And then Ralph had a second meeting. That's what happened the first night we was there. And I mean young people, teenagers, waiting 2 hours just because they wanted to sing a few songs and hear some testimonies. And that night, in the first meeting, Willie got happy and got to praying, standing up praying and shouting. I mean, we was praying after some preaching, and he sat back down, and there was a teenage girl. I mean, she got loaded up. She started trying to talk, and she just broke down crying. And what happened with this girl and a few of the girls that are coming there now, they were walking by one day, and Aisha, the wife, said, "We want you to come to meeting." I said, "Oh, we can't come to meeting. We're going to the disco." And she said, "Well, you can still come to meeting." I said, "No, we can't come to church because we go to the disco. They said they won't let us in." And that's what those legalists have been preaching. You couldn't come to church if you... She said, "No," said, "you need to come. We won't." And they came and got to hearing the hymns, and the hymns got a hold of them, and they ain't been to the disco since that day. I mean, they quit going to the disco and started coming to the prayer meetings. And that girl got to crying, and she said, while he was praying, talking about Willie, said, "I felt something," and she said, "I want what he's got. I want that." And I mean, her and another girl, some others got all tore up. That was the first meeting. The second meeting, in the evening we had a couple days later, the room was full. I mean, it's cold outside, real cold, so you had to keep the door shut. And those girls got there a little late, and they're sitting in the side room, and I mean, if you stand up and take a step, you're going to step on somebody. That's how packed they are together. And all of a sudden, Yashar said, "I've got to let these girls in over here in this room," because somebody came to the door and tapped on it, told him, said, "You better let them in. They're over here crying their eyes out. They want to be in that meeting and they want to be back in there." And that's where we got this thought, crying to get in. I mean, two teenage girls. They cried for 5 minutes after they got in the room. There's been Satora. They're sitting right in front of us, just a couple of things. And I mean, just crying their eyes out, wanting to get in. And I thought, Lord, help. I need some of that. You reckon you need some of that? You reckon I'd have a lot more God on me and in me and around me if I was doing some crying to get some things from God, if I'd get really tore up? I mean, have you ever really got tore up about getting to God? Reckon some of you young people that are wondering why you ain't got no God on you, or some of you that still ain't got saved yet, reckon how are you going to answer to God when a bunch of little Turks that ain't got nothing? I mean, they're lucky if they got enough clothes to wear and a half a loaf of bread to eat today, and they're crying to get in the church, bawling their eyes out. And we're going to say, well, I felt a little bad, so I didn't come. And I was going to try not to say nothing like that tonight, but I'll go ahead and say it anyway. God help you. And if that kills your meeting, maybe your meeting needs to get killed so God can resurrect you. God help you. I mean, you ought to go over there. Just go. Get your ticket. Ralph will be glad to see you. Go and watch them. And then come back and think of some of our excuses that we have. That's the second meeting at that house. The third meeting we had, I think, on Tuesday night. Wednesday was the last day we went to meetings because we flew out of there. When did we fly out of there? Tuesday was the last night. We flew out of there Wednesday. This was Monday night. And we went back. And we had the meeting. I mean, they're shouting it out, crying, praying. And then after the service, we started walking up towards the van. And somebody said, "No, we ain't leaving yet. We got to go up here to this house." Now, up on the hill where Yashar's at, there's some Turks that live on up the hill that have a little bit more money than the others. Now, I mean, they consider them rich. The person with the least amount of money in here tonight is richer than them. But you know what I'm saying? Over there in that section, they're considered rich. And we go up there to this apartment, and there's a man and his wife and the grandmother. The mother of the wife had been coming to the meetings, and she'd talked to them, and they had sent for Ralph. I mean, I felt like I was sitting right in the middle of Acts chapter 10, where Cornelius sent for Peter to come. And boy, they come in there, and I mean, they were dressed nicer than most Turks. And these two young ladies of the house, one of them was married and had a couple small children. I mean, dressed nice looking young ladies, and they started clearing off the table and made us real comfortable, and they brought out some coffee, and I mean, she just wanted everything to be just right. And I thought, well, I didn't know yet exactly what was going on. And then they were going to feed us, but before they were going to feed us, they said, "We've been wanting to hear from you because we believe that y'all are true believers." And the father had been to some Pentecostal meetings over there and had sort of been looking a couple of years ago for God. But they'd told him, "No, if you won't come to church, you can't go to no funerals if the person wasn't in our church that died. You can't go to no weddings." And he had given some children, helped some children. When the children would come around and sing songs, and he'd give them stuff. And they said, "No, you ought not do that because they're not singing the right songs." And that finally tore him up, and he just quit going. He said, "This is just too much. I can't do all this stuff these people are saying." So he started telling a little bit about that, and Ralph said, "No, we're not like that. We preach the grace of God. We believe that Jesus did it all. You can be free and be saved." And that man started listening, those young ladies, and they said, "Well, we want you to pray for us." I mean, it was a small room, maybe about 8x9, with couches in it and everything, so we had to sort of bunch up. And it sort of wound up where the missionaries and ourselves, we were facing one way, looking towards them, and they're facing towards us. And they get down, and I mean, just as humble as they can be. Those people get right down at your knees and say, "I want you to pray for me. I got this problem." And they were just so humble. I mean, they just wanted us to pray for them. And we got to praying. And Ralph said, "Now let's be a little easy now. You know, these people ain't never been around none of this." And we just got to praying, and the Lord come in there. And I looked up, and both those young ladies are down on their knees, tears just running down their face. And they told us, they said afterwards, one of them had to leave. She couldn't quit crying, and it embarrassed her. She didn't even understand what had happened to her. I mean, the power of God had come, and I'm talking about, these were lost people wanting, sending for the preacher. And she had to leave, and the other one said, "Well, we sent for y'all because we knew that there's real believers down there," and said, "We've been wanting to know how to believe." And when we left, Ralph said, "Well, God can save the rich too." And I thought about those girls crying to get in. Ralph said, "Y'all just keep on praying. We'll be back and see you. You know, we'll tell you more about it. You just keep on seeking God." And everywhere I went, I seen people crying. Achmet, he cries when you get there. He cries while you're there. Then when he hugs your neck the day you're leaving, he cries again. This other old fella that used to be a drunk, his name's Solly, we used to call him Columbo because he looks like a little bit like Peter Falk. I mean, he used to be rough. I mean, he still looks pretty rough. But he come in the meeting and seen us, and boy, he grabbed my hand. He just wouldn't let go of it.
and started crying and just weeping and sat there and weeped the whole service. And I mean, they're crying to get in over there. And we ought to be rejoicing. That all started right here. I mean, do you realize that there's a nation of people, Turks in Romania and Bulgaria? I mean, they may be in Romania, but they're Turks. A nation of people, the Millet Turks, that are over there. And because God sent the gospel from here, they're crying all over the place. And they're not crying because they're mad or upset that Christian. They're crying to get in. They're begging. They're still begging. One lady came by one night and she told Brother Ralph, said, come to our village now. Don't forget to come to our village and tell us she had come from another village. And I was thinking about this tonight and I looked it up in 2 Kings. And I'll be through in just a minute. First time tears are mentioned in the Bible. First time. God sent word by Isaiah to Hezekiah that he was going to die. Said, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Verse 2. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. And then in verse 4, and it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him. Say, I mean, Isaiah's told him, you set your house in order, you're going to die. Thus saith the Lord. And before he can even get out of the outer court that's around that castle, Hezekiah's already got a hold of God. Hezekiah changed God's mind. You say, well, God don't change his mind. Well, I know God changes not. It says he changeth not. But he changed his mind. Hezekiah was going to die. You say, well, what changed his mind? Look in verse 5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. That's the first mention of tears in the Bible. He said, I've heard your prayer and I've seen your tears. I heard a man say one time, tears are a language that God understands. And I believe that. Hezekiah changed the Lord's mind right here. And he said, I'll heal thee and then you go to the house of the Lord. And they've had testimony after testimony after testimony over there of people that have come and said, I heard a singing tape, or somebody told me about it, or I got a gospel and I was sick, or this was wrong, my family was messed up, and I prayed and then the Lord appeared to me. And I mean, take that however you want to. They can't read and write. They say the Lord appeared to me, maybe in a dream they say or something, and you can do with that whatever you want. I really don't care anymore. I mean, just cut it all to pieces when you get the tape. Go ahead. I mean, cut it up and all that, and God will just keep on doing it. And then you can answer for your criticism at the judgment seat of Christ, okay? But they've had a bunch of them come and say, God appeared to me in a dream. Or God appeared to me in a vision and told me, I'm going to heal you, or I'm going to help your husband, or I'm going to help your boy that's in prison. But you go find the believers and go to the church and they'll tell you what to do. And they come, and Yashar and Aisha, one of the other preachers and their wives, will talk with them and pray with them, and they get saved and they're still in the church. Say, well, that's not scriptural. It is right here. He said, I've heard thy prayer and I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. Amen. Trying to get in. You know, I feel like I'm spoiled because I get to go over there and take these fellas and see them. I mean, I get to see it both ways. I get to see when men first go over from America and see how they get tore. I mean, everybody cried, not just them. The missionaries cried. Brother Ralph's crying. The missionaries are crying. I seen Brother Harmon stood in his pulpit and said he never shouted in public. Well, I seen him stand up on the couch and shout it out the other night. I seen Brother Nixon bawling his eyes out a few times. where he couldn't even look up, just sitting there all red faced. Everybody's crying. And then on the other hand, they're rejoicing. I mean, they're shouting it out. And I think we ought to just keep on seeking God. And I think we ought to realize. And I know I heard that somebody had said that they had thought a couple of years about not coming back to the camp meetings anymore, because all you hear about is Bulgaria and Romania and the Ukraine. Well, maybe they don't need to come back. You say, well, we've wore this thing out. Well, God ain't tired of it. He's still saving them. And every time I go over there, it's better than it was the last time. And there's still almost 200 villages that are begging for us to come. And we went out to villages. It was cold, wasn't it, Willie? And just laid some blankets out on the ground out in mountain villages where they had never even heard of Jesus 6 months ago. And 70 or 80 people come out there and sit on blankets in about 40 degree weather just to hear some hymns sung and just to hear somebody tell them who the Son of God is. And that ain't all. When you leave, they say, please come back. They're crying to get in. And I hope God will give me some more tears to cry to help get them in. I mean, God said, Hezekiah, I've seen your tears. I saw those tears that you cried. I heard your prayer, and I saw your tears. And I believe God sees those Turks crying. And I believe He's seen every tear that's been cried here when people have got tore up about that work. And I believe that's what's keeping it going, is compassion, prayer, and tears, and faith. And I thank God for letting me go over there. You say, well, is it all? Well, there's battles. I mean, those missionaries have battles every day. If the car ain't tearing up, poor old Frank, his car tears up about every... He can't even take it to the villages anymore because... they just know it's just a lemon. It's a Romanian-made car, and it just turned out to be a lemon. And I mean, they've been sick. Achmet's got a tumor on his kidney right now, and his liver's swollen. That just happened right before we left. They're all tore. He just found out he had sugar diabetes a couple months ago. Now his kidney's got a tumor on it. Yashar's been sick. Nasuf, they thought he had... his heart got all tore up a while back and thought maybe he's having a heart attack. Ishmael did have a heart attack. Now he's getting better. And I mean, the missionaries got battles and that, and we've got battles here. And I know that, every one of us. But thank God, in the midst of it all, the Lord hears our prayers. He sees our tears. And those people are still crying to get in. And we've got a great blessing and a great responsibility because of their tears and because of what God's doing. I appreciate the privilege to go over there. And you pray for those preachers that went. I don't believe they'll ever be the same. Pray God will show them what to do with what they got. I'm finished. Amen.
I like that good report, don't you? I do. I'm glad God's still in business. Lord, it's so good. I want us to keep praying. We got more coming, too. More things are happening. I got tore up by the Indians over in Cherokee. Made a trip over there this week. Went to a children's home. Indian children's home. Got 200, about 100, over 100 boxes of clothes over here I'm trying to get rid of. Good stuff. They said, well, we can use a lot of them, and another church down here is giving them away, and another little church is selling them. I said, they'll sell them for a quarter. I said, I ain't giving them, ma'am. They got a Baptist camp meeting over a big old building, bigger than this church. Got it right in town. I'm going to get some information. Get with them Indians. Ain't God good? Every time I turn around, there's somebody needing something. Amen. Somebody wanting something. Well, I talked to some of them Indians over there, and they said, I mean, one lady I first got over in the night, me and Melanie. David went, and I talked to an Indian girl. I mean, I was talking to a white lady. And the girl said, send it down here. Yeah, we need some, especially baby clothes. So how many y'all were just praying about that? Let's pray that the Lord will send some little clothes in. We got a bunch of little shoes. John Gooch got out somewhere, and somebody gave him about $1,000. And his wife and someone went out and bought children's shoes. Now, man, that's going to be something. We done got a container load over there. I'm going to try to get a 40-foot job going next time. And they say it's doing good. Talked to Mitko the other day, and he said, buddy, I tell you, we'd really appreciate them clothes you sent over here. I got a burden to send some to Israel. I hope I can get a container load of blankets and stuff to send to Israel. Ain't the Lord great?
Amen.
Well, you don't have to have everybody in town doing it, just God. He can do more with a handful and let him do it, because we can't do nothing no how. All that's going on over there is not us, it's God. God can appear when we're not around. Ain't that wonderful? You say, I don't believe in that. Well, you ought to read where he appeared. An angel appeared to old, what was his name, Cornelius. Told him what to do. Now you say, well, the Holy Ghost hadn't yet. He'd done been here. He'd done got here. He just hadn't got over to Cornelius' house yet. Holy Ghost will do it, brother. God's going to do what he wants to do, whether we in it or out of it or for it or against it. Let's stand up. I appreciate these brethren getting back. I'm glad they got over and back. Appreciate their testimony and what they've seen and what God's doing. Ain't that good? Don't get thinking, well, we're the ones. No, God just let us see it. We ain't really done anything. God just let us get on the sideline and watch the ships go by. Loaded with blessings. And I thank him for it. I want him to get all glory. All the honor. All the praise. I'm glad Brother John to come over tonight. I appreciate him. Appreciate you. Brother God,
said it is, and help us, Lord, to tell them about Jesus. Tell them how good he is, how great he is, how wonderful to see. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing all this world, what a job we've got. Help us not to look at the circumstances around here and look at the peace. Help us to keep our eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
Get the victory. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.